Church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday, and this is the Refresh radio program, and that means it is time for me to praise the Lord. So, hey, welcome to the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next 30 minutes here, or close to it, talking about the Word of God. Is actually 27 minutes, 28 seconds total, in case you were wondering. But we're going to be in the book of Isaiah today, talking about the Word of God. Want to invite you out to our services this week. Sunday will be May the 1st. It's hard to believe 4 months will have been gone by that time already, but it is there. And I can tell we're getting closer to summer. Look at the car thermometer when I get in of a morning, and I know it's summer when it's not as cool outside as I would like for it to be on the inside. And that may not be every day, but it's like, oh, are you serious? That's, you know, I would take my wife to work early of a morning, and it's like, come on, let me feel just that little bit of cool air where it's cooler outside than it is inside. Nope, not so much. So you'd better make sure your AC is working properly. You're going to need it at top performance over the next few months. But I want to say thank you today to Rob and Tavy, who helped us get a vehicle so I could, you know, so my wife would be able to drive with the safety features that she needed. And they were just very helpful. My son was very helpful. Actually, my son was extremely helpful because he's bought more vehicles than what I have. My wife absolutely loves her Chevy Equinox that we purchased from Bob Steele Chevrolet. And if you're looking for somebody who can help walk you through that process, maybe you've never had a car and you find yourself needing a car, give them a call, 261-0288, 261-0288, and they can get you into a vehicle of your preference, one that will meet your needs. And, you know, I mean, mine's got lifetime, let's see, oil change and tire rotation. And so very, very thankful for that as well. So 261-0288 if you're in the Cocoa area, Central Florida area, and need an automobile. So, by the way, the my district superintendent, he sent a message and said, you know, I'm very thankful or very grateful and congratulations, and I know that you will use this car for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And we fully intend on doing that and have already taken steps to be a blessing to other people through God's blessing and favor on our life. And so praise the Lord. Today we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 45, where God is prophetically speaking to Cyrus decades before he's ever born. And this is what he said in verse number 3. We're going to begin at verse number 3. We will go down to verse number 10. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect. I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Rain down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? So on yesterday's program, we were talking about God was doing all of this in advance of Cyrus even existence so that Cyrus would know that God was the one who called him by name. He wanted him to know his identity, that he is the God of Israel, not Cyrus, God. The Lord God is God of Israel. He goes on in verse number 4, and he says, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect. So what God was saying here in Isaiah chapter 45 and verses 3 and 4 is that he was going to use Cyrus for the benefit or because of his people. Because God had not forgotten his covenant people, he was going to use Cyrus to bring about the predetermined blessing that God had for his covenant people. So I want you to expand your horizons of expectation. What I mean by that is too many times we are guilty as believers of restricting ourselves to only believing in the natural source of things. But God is naturally supernatural. He has capabilities beyond that of what we can see. He has abilities beyond those things that we can even understand, that we can feel or touch or experience with our senses. He's supernaturally God. And so he can go beyond the people that you know. He can move beyond the organization to which you belong and bring about his divine purposes. So years and years ago, we were very small, budget tight, shall we say. We had to be very frugal and really watch our pennies, nickels, and dimes just to be able to accomplish anything. And it was about that time that God had spoken to me and said, hey, I want you to take a step of faith. I'm going to use a radio program, and it's going to be the key to your blessing. And so I contacted the radio station. I believe it was WWBC. It's the station that our 1030 broadcast occurs on now. We had a broadcast there on Saturday morning. It was only once a week, and it was on from January through April. And during that time, we did not get one phone call. We did not get one visitor. We did not get one note, nothing as far as feedback of any concern. It wasn't until after we had discontinued that radio program that we heard, hey, we miss your program on Saturday mornings. Well, it's like, well, we had asked y'all, hey, contact us so that we know that you are out there. And you say, well, I thought you said God told you to do that. And he did. He did. I'm going to explain that. He said that program was going to be the key to our church's growth. And so for 4 months, we did that. And at that point in time, I was 10 weeks behind on my salary. Now you haven't heard this part of the story. If you've heard this much before, stick around. You're getting ready to hear something that you haven't heard. And So it was during that time we stepped out in faith, even though our finances were going downhill. We stepped out in faith because God said to. So after 4 months, God said, how's that radio program going? I said, not going well at all. Not going well at all. And so he said, what I want you to do is I want you to take the finances that you were putting into the radio program, and I want you to start tithing to missions. And so we did that, and that was the key to the breakthrough. So from 1996, I believe it was, until 2013, I thought that that word was all about the getting me to be motivated to step out financially, and missions has become the lifeblood of Merit Assembly of God. It has been pivotal in us growing to the extent that we are. About 25% of our budget went to missions last year. Okay, that's local, national, international, and it's through the Assemblies of God, not through the Assemblies of God. It's our total missions program. Actually, we gave more than that. That's just what came through our books. But I know that we gave more than that to missions, probably significantly more than 25%. So we were there. So April, I was 10 weeks behind on my salary. All the other bills were paid, but I wasn't getting paid. And there was something that happened right about this time of the year, because it was the end of April and we were making that decision. And so the 1st of May, we said, yes, God, we will do that. And I want you to know, before we ever got to write the first missions check, there was a change in the atmosphere of the church. There were people who started attending that had never attended before. They started staying. The finances began to improve. All of that because we had said yes to God's plan. Now, there was something else that happened. I don't remember where I was going. In fact, it may have been the first part of May where I was on my way to district council, if I remember correctly. And my wife called me, and she was ecstatic. She was like, honey, you are never going to believe what happened. And I said, well, what happened? She said, there was a lady that had a business that was very close to the church. They were having a business luncheon. I happened to be washing dishes at a local restaurant to supplement our income at that point in time, and actually saw these people having lunch at this local establishment. And as they were talking, and the person that I had this this businesswoman that I knew, she didn't come to our church, but the person that she was having lunch with says, what can you tell me about that little church there? And she began to tell them about us and what a blessing we were in the neighborhood and all of that sort of stuff. And a person I had never met, had never heard of, did not have any involvement in the interaction at all, they gave that business woman a check for the church. And it was a substantial check for what we were going through. It was about 50% of a month's budget at that point in time. It was like, praise the Lord. God used, just like Cyrus here, he used a person I did not know to bless the church and advance the cause of the kingdom of God. What I didn't know was, he didn't just do that once. He did it again and again and again and again. And so I want you to know that God is not bound by the same restrictions that you and I are. His knowledge is infinite where ours is finite. the number of people that he is aware of is significantly larger than the number of people that you are aware of. And so he will move even on the hearts of strangers, even on the hearts of people that you do not have any relationship with at all. He will use them to set you up for the blessing that he has in store for you. Now, I want to also let you know that Cyrus was very important for the purpose of rebuilding Jerusalem, rebuilding the temple, because when the children of Israel got back there to rebuild, there were enemies that were positioned that were hostile to them rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and the temple. And they filed a protest. And do you know what it was? They filed that protest with a guy by the name of Darius, and Darius told them, stop the building until I do a search. And they did a search, and they found the proclamation that Cyrus had made and the proclamation of Cyrus and the authority behind his throne hushed the enemies, silenced the adversaries, so that reconstruction could take place. So if you look at a situation and say, man, this isn't how I would do it, then, you know, don't rule out that God is working in that situation. And in fact, what I have discovered is that if I offer suggestions to God on how to do something, he will show me that he's God by doing it a different way. And so I'm very thankful that God is able to use people. So Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 4 continues and says, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. So in that day and time, kings, they didn't want to offend any gods. And so many times they worshiped a multitude of gods, hoping to get at least part of it right. But God says to Cyrus, before you were even born, I want you to read this. Now, this would involve somebody that had been familiar with the word of God that would be able to bring this word to Cyrus's attention, that says, I want you to see what God wrote about you before you were born, before your mama was born, before your daddy was born. I want you to see what God had laid out. He said, God wants you to know him in all of his greatness. Today, I doubt that I'm speaking to the President of the United States. I doubt that I'm speaking to the governor of the state of Florida. I'm not sure if there's any county commissioners that listen to the program or not, but I do know this, that the God who wanted Cyrus to know that he was the Lord and there was no other, that there is no God beside him, is speaking to you, and he knows you by your name. He knows the number of hairs you have on your head. You are not an accident in time. You are not a biological mystery that just kind of showed up on the global scene at some point in time. You were crafted by God for such a time as this. Now, because we live in a fallen world, because of sin that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, God loves us the way that we are, but he also loves us so much that he refuses to allow us to stay that way. So what I want to share with you is that God loves you, but he also wants to call you, he wants to call me into a deeper relationship with God, one that we say, wow, God is God all by himself. And he loves me. He wants to have a relationship with me, a personal relationship with me. That's an amazing, amazing thing. I knew this person one time. They're still alive. And whenever you would go to have a conversation with them, they would shake your hand. They would call you by name. But they were scoping the room to look to see if there was someone that was more important than you that they could go and have a conversation with. And I mean, it wasn't something that happened just once. This was something that happened over and over and over again. And when they found that person, you know what they were doing? They would say hi, and they would enter into dialogue, and they would scope the room and see if there was somebody that was more important than them. Well, I want you to know that God thinks that you are vitally important, and you have his attention. Today, he wants you to have an awareness that he knew you were coming on the scene before you knew you were coming on the scene. And he wants you to know him. Verse number 5 continues, I will gird you though you have not known me. That's the second time that we see though you have not known me. I have called you by your name. I have named you though you have not known me. And I will gird you though you have not known me. Okay, that means that God's going to put the covering on you. It's going to give you the wardrobe. He's going to give you the robe of righteousness. He'll give you the armor of God that is found in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. But believe me, there's also the robe of righteousness. There's the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You need to look into the word of God and find out the spiritual closet that you have. It's a walk-in closet. You get to walk in. There's some things that you're going to have to put off. You're going to have to put off lying and put off malice and put off ungodliness. You're going to have to put off all of that old fallen nature, and God will gird you. He will gird you for the battle. He will gird you for the house of God. He will gird you for your position of authority. And he said, I will do all of that, even though you haven't known me, that they may know. So in verse number 3, we see the first, that you may know. Now we see that they may know. God's going to work in your life and in my life so that other people will know that God is God. He said the second thing, this is in verse number 6, we're going to see the second and the third reason that God does what he does in Cyrus's life, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. So to some extent, this is saying, Cyrus, I'm going to work in your life that you may know that I am the Lord, that I have called you by name and there is none besides me, that my people will experience from the rising of the sun to its setting, in other words, all day long, that when things are going well, when things are not going well, that my people will know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. He does not make a mistake. So you could be a trendsetter. You may be like me. I don't come from a family of preachers. I came from a family of pipe fitters. My one grandfather was a front-end mechanic. My other grandfather, he was an air conditioning guy. He was a plumber and an air conditioner and a maintenance supervisor. He worked for the same company for 52 years. That's my background. So for me, a lot of this, I'm not preaching my daddy's sermons. I'm preaching the sermons that God has given to me. And some of that is so that people who were raised in the house of God will see, hey, God is God all by himself. He's not retired. His abilities, his capabilities have not waned one single bit. Even though we may have gone through a very difficult season, you know, Cyrus was basically the end of 70 years of captivity, that God was God even during that time of challenge. He tells that to people who are his covenant people, but he also wants that to be known on a global scale. You say, well, why is that important? Here's a question for you. Where'd the wise men come from? Why were the wise men watching the nighttime sky? Why were they so quick to acknowledge that there was a star in the heavens that was identified as the star of the King of the Jews? Somebody there had heard about what God did. I'm not here to say Cyrus was a perfect man. I doubt that he was. I don't know how he responded to all of the work that God had did in his life so that Cyrus would know him. But somewhere along the way, there was at least a subculture of wise men, of magi, that said, you know what? I believe there's a God who causes kingdoms to rise and kingdoms to fall. I think that there's a God who is far above all other principalities and powers and rulers. And I think that's the one that I want to be serving. And he said that he was sending his Messiah, the anointed one. I'm going to be on the lookout for that Messiah, for that anointed one. So, how is God working in your life? He's working. Maybe not the how is the question. Maybe the better question is why. God is working in your life so that you will know him. I believe it's the book of Ezekiel that God says over and over and over again, I'm going to do this that they may know that I am God. I'm going to do this and then they will know that I'm God. And we look at that, and some of those are pretty severe. Some of them are pretty extreme. I want you to realize that how vitally important it is to God that you and I know him. The reason that the enemy doesn't want us to know him the way that God wants us to know him is because of this. The people that know their God shall do great exploits. God will order your steps. He will direct your path. He wants you to know him. He goes on and he says this, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all of these things. Why don't you allow God the freedom to work in your life, to bring peace and light into all that he does in your life so that you will know him better than you've ever known him. God bless you. You have a marvelous weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Rest your